Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Sandra Newland is an older woman who is full of vitality, just as she was as a child. For a time in her 40s and 50s, she got very drained and felt like she was aging. But in the last 20 years, Sandra has gradually been discovering what true self-care is and learning to live in a more self-loving way. Sandra realised that she was putting herself down and allowing self-doubting thoughts in, and that this was a form of self-abuse, which was undermining her self-worth and eroding her authority to such an extent that she no longer knew who she was. Sandra has a background in craniosacral therapy, beauty therapy, and esoteric modalities, and she conducts these sessions in a way that treats the whole being, not just the body. Sandra has a deep understanding of people and treats them as equals, knowing that we are all on this journey together and have much to learn from each other. Hi, Sandra. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hello.
I'm really excited to share your story, so shall we get started?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
I live on a macadamia farm in northern New South Wales, and I'm in my 70s, and I've got family in America, two kids and their five grandkids, and I've just been to visit them, so I've just gone back.
Oh, excellent. I love it. It sounds exciting having been overseas for a nice trip to see family.
Yeah, it was really lovely to connect with them and see them as they're coming into their, well, I've got one who's just turned 15, so it's lovely to be able to see her blossoming into a beautiful young woman.
Yeah, oh, that's lovely. So do you want to tell us about what you actually do now? Like, are you fairly active in community, or do you have your own business? What's actually going on for you?
Well, I run a macadamia farm, and I have a job in Ballina, which is about 20 minutes away, 3 days a week. So I'm really enjoying being out amongst people. It's really lovely to connect with people and stay interactive and engaged. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I don't want to really retire.
No,
I'm not the kind of person who likes to just float around the world. You know, traveling all the time. I did a lot of that when in my youth. So I've pretty much done all that. Yeah.
So talking about your youth and your life, what's actually been your story? What's your story to get you to this point?
Well, I've had a varied career, you could say. In my early 20s, I was studying a master's degree in linguistics at university, and I was given a government Land Rover and a tape recorder, and I went out into the bush and lived with Aboriginal people and studied their languages. And I learned a lot from them about nature, about the cycles. They live so much with the cycles of life, and so they're very in tune with the seasons and with the birds, what the birds are telling them, and what's the kind of respond to what's happening, or what's happening in the flow of existence at the time. So that was really lovely for me, because university is very heady, as you know, you get caught up in the mental world, and you kind of get cut off from your body, whereas they're so in their bodies. And I started to see that if I listened to my body and respond to things from my body rather than from my head, it was actually much a truer way of being. So I actually went back and I finished my thesis, but I didn't go on to, everyone wanted me to stay and, you know, climb the academic ladder, but I just somehow didn't feel to do that, so I ended up travelling. And I travelled for 2 years through Asia and, you know, the usual sort of trip that you did in those days. A bit of a hippie trail it was. And I worked in London for 6 months, and then also worked in Canada for 6 months as part of that, and just really enjoyed the difference of the cultures. Like, the first country I went to was Bali, and it was like I really enjoyed seeing the reflection that there's another way to live, and ours is not the only way. And what I did love about also with the Aboriginals, was their extended family system. So it wasn't something where you've got a nuclear family bringing up the, you know, two kids. The whole tribe or the whole community were responsible for those children. And so the children got a very rounded sort of, you could say, way of looking at the world. It wasn't just through their own idea of, or their own parents, looking through their own parents' glasses or whatever. They'd be able to see through the whole from every way, every different way. Mm. And I mean, yeah, they're still conditioned by the culture and all of that, but it was lovely in that the mum and dad didn't have such a pressure to, you know, be the only parents for the kids. Yeah, so that was very eye-opening for me. And when I first, because now it's different because people have seen TV and whatnot, because I grew up with no TV. It was only, I think, came in when I was about 18, I suppose. And you started to see, wasn't so many travel shows and things, so you didn't kind of see how the other part of the world lived. Mm. So it was quite a shock, in a sense, to a young 23-year-old travelling to see different customs and that people actually did things differently, and my way wasn't the only way, you know. So it was actually very freeing, yeah, the travelling. Yeah, and so then I met a man on my trip, mm-hmm. and we eventually got married and had kids. On my travels, I also stayed in Buddhist monastery for 3 months, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. Lived like a nun. And it was actually very lovely because it was a very simple way of life. And I think I'm very open to a simple way of life. Mm. Just really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, so how'd you end up on the macadamia farm?
Yeah, well, that's another story.
I think you've got lots of stories in your past. Yes,
I do. Yeah, well, then I moved to Brisbane and I married a lawyer, and we were living there, and then we bought a macadamia farm down here in northern New South Wales, which was so that basically we could have a place to come down to on weekends and deal with in the country and not surrounded in the city. And that was really beautiful. We built it up from it wasn't a running farm until we made it a viable, productive farm. Yeah, so we had that. And then, we were married for 26 years and then we divorced. So I ended up with the macadamia farm. I never ever thought I'd be a farmer. Yeah, so that's something that fell into my lap, you could say. Mm-hmm. And I looked at, you know, I thought I'd give myself a year and see how. And so far so good. So, yeah.
Wow.
So producing good crops and, yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So with along the way when you've, you know, had your little points in time where you've changed direction in your life and that, did you have like little lightning bolts that said, no, I've got to change or do something here? Or did you just have like slow rumbles and life just took you on that bit of a journey?
Yeah, sometimes there were amazing things. One thing was a big lightning bolt. My father and mother came to visit me when I was quite young, with two children, my first child. And as I took them to the airport and said goodbye, I just had this knowing my father was going to die. And not that he was, I just knew I wasn't going to see him again. And it was so strong that I told my mother, I didn't tell him, didn't feel right to tell him, but I told my mum and I said, look, this just feels like, I don't know, it just feels so strong. And she just, from that day on, she treated every day with him as if it was the last day they would be together. And she just valued being with him. And then 6 months later, he had a stroke. It was sudden, you know, it just happened out of the blue. And she heard him groaning and she knew, she just remembered what I'd said and she knew that was it. And she thanked me for that because she said, like, without that, she would have been completely devastated, you know, and probably wished she'd said things to him that she should have said, you know, and all of that. So that was an amazing thing, and it made me realize that we're often given lots of little messages along the way, and we often don't take much notice of them, you know. But sometimes it's a lightning bolt, you can't help but take notice of it.
Yes.
But if it is something that's, you know, just small, like, you know, my friend was coming to visit. And he was about to make a huge decision, and he was not sure if he'd made the right decision. And the moment he thought that, he looked up and he saw this truck go by, and these huge letters on the truck saying, "It's all good." And it's like we get little messages like that every now and then. I call them sort of like magic of God moments where it just, yeah, we somehow are informed as to what's needed or just guided as to what where the right way is.
So what about the future? What's exciting about the future for you?
Well, I've got a new partner and possibly looking at living together. So that's something. I think for me, well, even the ripple effect, this somehow I feel is very, very beautiful impulse. And I feel it's something that I feel very drawn to, is to share with young people the wisdom that I have as an older person, but also to help them see themselves that they already know it all, you know, that they don't need really advice or they don't need to be told what to do. They just need to be able to reminded that to look deep into their body and see for themselves or feel what they know is true. But so often we doubt that, you know, and this is where I feel my job is to remind people not to doubt yourself anymore, because I've done so much of that. And I've done just, you know, it's undermined me and stopped me valuing who I am, you know. And it's a form of self-abuse. So it's been something that's really, I would just love to say to all young people, please, you know, don't listen to those self-doubting thoughts. Just go deep into your body and trust what you know deep in your heart, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help and reach out, you know. So that to me is really exciting, that we can, you know, unite together in some way to actually bring some support for people. And
It's a beautiful project, and Stacey House is doing a great job getting all those 1,000 authors together, and
I know.
You know, it's a big job, but such Huge. A wonderful you know, purpose she has to get that message out there.
That's right. Yeah,
the generation. Yeah,
yeah. And I think that's the key word to me, purpose. And I feel like in this part of my life, the exciting thing is that I've got more purpose in my life than I ever had. I've got more of a sense of knowing what I'm doing, you know, because a lot of the time you fumble along and you don't quite know where you're going or what you're doing or whether this is the right way to go. But when you have a purpose, which doesn't mean to say, you know, like to be a seamstress or to be something, but it's an underlying thing to say, serve humanity in some way like this, you know, that to me is such a strong purpose that just fires me up, you know, like it's a reason to get out of bed, it's a reason to really, you know, make your life worthwhile. So on the plane coming home from America, I was sitting next to a lady who works with youth in jail, and she has helped, like she said, there's about an 85% success rate of youth that they've sort of rehabilitated and haven't yet gone back to jail after 3 or 4 years, which is really great. And I said, well, what is it that has helped that, you know? And she said, well, partly we really connect with them, that's the first thing. And at the same time, also, we allow them to be themselves. We accept them as they are. And I thought, those are really great ingredients. And the other thing I could see, that she really wouldn't stand any nonsense. Like, she'd lay boundaries that were very firm, but at the same time gives them absolute license to explore their creativity or to express themselves. And these feel like key ingredients that young people need to honour in themselves to allow themselves to really express how they feel and say no to anything that's abusive.
Yes.
And just know that they've got a tremendous amount of value there, and they're here to bring something to the earth, you know.
Yeah, how wonderful of her to do that. It's lovely, isn't it, when you
I know
people that have that purpose in life to help others. And
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, I felt, well, you know, that's the job I'd like to do. So I was going to look into that and see if there's any way I can help out, whether it be youth in some areas anyway.
Yeah. All right, let's have a change in pace and we'll do a bit of a speed round. Not that it's very speedy, but what's your favourite book?
The first thing that came to two books came to mind. they're funny little books. One was Le Petit Prince by Saint-Exupéry. He was a French author, but it's called The Little Prince. But what I loved about it, it was so simple. He was not trying to be anyone. He wasn't impressing anyone. He was just being himself. The other one was Winnie the Pooh.
Love Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, that was. And my dad used to read it to us when we were kids at night, and he used to roar with laughter, you know. And Winnie the Pooh, to me, was such an unassuming, wise bear, you know, and I think we're all wise bears like that, you know, bear with a little very little brain, which is so lovely because it means he's not thinking from his head. His whole body's his brain, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what really is. Our whole body informs us. Like, you know, you're sitting and typing and you know when you need to go up and go to the toilet. But the trouble is our head overrides it and we hang on, and then suddenly I used to ring my husband at work. He'd say, oh, I've got to go to the toilet. Just please wait. And he'd be wanting to go for ages, but only because I'd put a stop in his momentum.
Yeah.
Register it, you know. So that's how our heads can override our bodies. So anyway, Winnie the Pooh was just, to me, such a gorgeous character.
I love it. Do you have a daily ritual that works best for you?
I very much have a ritual and a rhythm which does work, yeah. I get up at, normally when I'm in good health, I get up around 4:30, and I, apart from, you know, putting the fire on and, you know, doing all those sorts of things, I usually sit at my computer and often have meetings where I have various groups that I belong to, and we have meetings of people all around the world. We're doing various things like writing a book on death and dying, a new different way to die. And also we built a website about the joy of aging and how you don't have to give up and retire and get old. Mm-hmm. You can really enjoy being older. And that's one of my purposes in life, is to show people that you can live a very vital life when you're older. And so I do that. Then I go to work 3 days a week. On those days I get up, get dressed, go to work, come home, and then I always go to bed quite early, like about 9 I'm in bed, and I find that really works for me. Pretty much that's been my rhythm most of my life. I've always been an early riser. I hate sleeping in. And I've never needed a great amount of, you know, like amount of sleep. I find if I sleep in, I get more tired than if I don't. Yeah, so I'm either on my computer or I'm at work or doing farm stuff, yeah.
Do you have a piece of advice you can give to others, like maybe in the same age group as you, you know, on how to, you know, keep going and have a purpose for their life?
I would say to stay connected with people, stay engaged with life, and don't take on what other people say to you. Even I would suggest don't retire, because often, you know, people retire and they, I mean, some people are quite vibrant and they go around the world and do all these things that they fulfill their bucket list and all of that. But sometimes people retire and they go, oh, what's next? I've lost my purpose, you know? Mm. Yeah. So I would say stay engaged with the community and really see where you can contribute, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic advice. All right, well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Sandra. I really appreciated you sharing your story, and I'd love it if you could give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there.
Okay. Email or
whatever you like. You know, people want to contact you. Do you have a website?
I'm building a website. It's not quite up yet, so
that's okay.
Perhaps my email address. Yep. Yeah, Sandra@TrueBeauty, and that's got a hyphen in it, so it's TRUE-BEAUTY.com.au.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Leanne.
Igniters, Sandra believes in looking deep into your body and trusting what you know deep in your heart. I love her vitality and youthful spirit. If you want to contact Sandra, you can email her on sandra@true-beauty.com.au. For finding out what your purpose in life is, you can contact me by going to my website, leanneblaney.com.